All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that attorney Stan McDonald, a longtime practitioner of law in North Alabama, longtime conservative, and oh, by the way, the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. But let me start by saying, okay, I have a confession to make. I do. Hear me out. Don't judge me. I have a Pinterest account. I do. It's true. Phil Williams, Army Ranger, lawyer, talk show guy, has a Pinterest page. Now, in my defense, a Phil Williams Pinterest page looks a lot different than a Lovely Charlene Pinterest page. And in fact, I actually scoffed for quite some time about Pinterest, where in my previous position on the matter, I believe that women just went to Pinterest to do the modern equivalent of window shopping. Charlene's Pinterest was filled up with the latest fashions, the flowers, the craft projects for grandkids. Not a dude thing in sight. Not a single dude thing. I poked fun at it. And then one day, I learned that my son had a Pinterest page. What is this heresy? My boy, my son, on Pinterest? Let it not be. But then he showed me his page. And it was filled with guns and cars and backpacks and field gear, and the light went on. Wait a minute. There's Pinterest for dudes? And yes, there is. And suddenly I was in. I was window shopping for guns, gear, and go-fast cars. It was everything from holsters and hardware to men's haberdashery. All the stuff that I can't afford but would love to buy. All the food that I shouldn't eat but would love to try. Every day on Pinterest on my page was like strolling through a combination of a classic car show in the parking lot of a Bass Pro Shop while eating deep-fried Wagyu steak burgers and swilling craft beer. It was awesome. It was every first world dream come true in living color. First world toys for first world boys. That's first world stuff, man. Things you don't really need, but you'd love to have, right? Which is, in essence, what being in the first world's all about. You see, in the first world, we have wants galore because most of our needs have all been met. Think about it. We have wants in the first world everywhere because most of our needs have actually been met. I mean, it's just hard living in the first world, you know. You hear about the third world, even the second world, countries where the questions and concerns revolve around whether or not there's going to be another meal or whether the warring factions are going to come burn your village. But here in the first world, folks can get upset because the foam wasn't right on their grande pumpkin spice latte. That's a classic first world problem, by the way. It's all a matter of perspective, really. I mean, in one part of the world, the question is not whether or not to walk, but rather how far to walk. While here in the first world, we have a whole new layer of first world problems that come in the form of things like range anxiety, because you're not sure if your $90,000 Rivian SUV is going to make it the full distance to your beach house on a single charge. The first world, like too often, doesn't even have a clue, really. The first world, I mean, a whole day in the first world can be set into some kind of ruinous position by merely having your Wi-Fi go down or misplacing your AirPods. In the first world, we set up silly rules like not wearing white until after Labor Day. I mean, meanwhile, in the third world, every day is Labor Day because every day requires labor and you wear what you have because that's all you have. In the first world, armies can't train because farmers can't farm and hunters can't hunt if, God forbid, the EPA finds a red-cockaded woodpecker or a snail darter somewhere within a five-mile radius. Not so long ago, cadets here at West Point in the first world were actually tasked with developing ways that the military academy could move towards being carbon neutral, because in the first world, the military fights climate change, apparently. Yeah, because in the first world, climate change is an existential crisis. In other parts of the world, they just want more rain. In the first world, it's quite possible to walk into a closet full of clothes and come out and announce you have nothing to wear. In the first world, you can have a real problem with the fact that your DoorDash got the food to your kitchen from the kitchen to your front door in more than 15 minutes. In the first world, it can be a real pain to run out of toilet paper or have to squeeze really hard to get the last toothpaste out of the tube. Look, life's rough in the first world, man. We got problems. But like I said, those are first world problems. And I'll be honest, I'm guilty of it too. Forgot my phone charger. Oh no, can't find the remote for the TV. What? Who turned the thermostat down? What happened to same-day delivery? Why is the fast food line so backed up? I've been irritated at all those things at one point in time or another because I live in the first world. Technically, I guess I have a Pinterest mentality where I see things that I want, not necessarily things that I need. But every once in a while, though, that perspective actually gets restored. and I realize how good we've got it. Like a few years ago, I was on a speaker on a mission trip to Reynosa, Mexico, just across the border from McAllen, Texas. I was working. It was a mission trip. We were building so-called houses, but really calling them houses was a stretch. On one of the builds, we built a rock-solid wood frame, a raised floor, a building that was roughly only 10 feet by 10 feet. We built wood platforms inside that little house, 3 feet high, for the family members to use like beds. It was a husband and wife and three kids that had been living in a dirt floor shack about the same size right next to it. Oh yeah, and by the way, the husband in that little family that was living in the shed that we built them was handicapped. He had a large tricycle-type wheeled chair that he moved around by turning the pedals with his hands. So we added a ramp to get in and out of the new house, and they were ecstatic. And they were excited. And they were appreciative. And I came home and I realized the garden shed in my backyard was equivalent to the house that I just helped build in Reynosa, Mexico. Except that technically, my shed had glass windows and a locking door. First world problems, man. It's about perspective. It's about having a sense of gratitude. It's about looking at our blessings and telling God, I do not take this for granted. One of my favorite movies also stars one of my favorite actors. You've probably seen it, The Book of Eli. I love that movie. The Book of Eli, starring Denzel Washington. It is so good. I've watched it multiple times. If you haven't seen it, the movie is set in a post-apocalyptic world, and Denzel Washington's character plays a guy named Eli. He's walking across what used to be America. Now it's war-torn and destroyed. He's carrying the last Bible in the world, and he believes that his mission is to take it out west. He doesn't know where. He just knows to take the Bible out west. And he fights, and he struggles, and he reads the Bible daily, and he quotes it often. And he walks like that for 30 years. Until he comes to a small survivor town run by a bad guy who wants his Bible. Now, I won't tell you the whole story, but suffice to say, this is the first world. This is a first world that has been pushed back to like the 10th or 11th world in the movie. It's a dark time in the movie filled with depravity and despair and deterioration, a total lack of consistency. And at one point, the character of Eli is talking in his quiet but firm way to a young lady who asks him, what was it like back before? Before. And Eli, in his quiet but firm way, said, people had more than they needed. We had no idea what was precious and what wasn't. We threw away things that people would kill each other for now. And it's true. You see, it's about perspective. I mean, what if you went to bed one night in the first world and you woke up in the third world? What would you do? How would you get by? Could you handle third world problems? Because it's all about perspective. Lee Greenwood, he labeled it pretty well in the opening lines to his classic song, Proud to Be an American. He said, if tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today where the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. So yeah, think about where you are. The darkest alley in America is often better than the so-called roads in some places in the world. If the average American goes to the sink and turns the handle, clean drinking water comes out. When we flip a switch by the door, we actually expect the lights to come on. If you miss the turnoff to the gas station, don't worry, there's going to be another one a few minutes down the road. And not having work? Well, that's technically a choice if you get down to it. If your charging cable's too short, you can order a new one and have it here in days without leaving your couch. You can pause live TV, remote start your car, adjust your thermostat, dim the lights, boost your Wi-Fi signal, and have your trash picked up right there at your curb. It's first world, man, so don't complain. In fact, if you don't like something, you more often than not have other options that would allow you to make changes if you wanted to. Referring back to that movie, The Book of Eli, later in the same movie, the young lady realized that Eli was leaving, and she told him, I want to come with you, to which he replied, no, you don't. She said, I hate it here, and he said, well, then change it. That's what he told her. See, in the first world, you always have options. It's really about perspective. And part of that perspective is built on being grateful, realizing that what we have, at times, may get ugly. And there may be fights, there may be feuds and foibles along the way, but we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, bar none, by God. Every single day in America is like a Pinterest page to someone in the third world. It's true. If you don't believe me, go there for yourself and see it. And then come home and look at what you got. First world problems are really just third world blessings. We've got it good. I wouldn't live anywhere else. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.